Welcome to our pre-show. We'd also like to welcome our replay viewers. We have some great guests today from IAM Local 4 who will teach us everything we wanted to know about grievance procedures because they can differ from company to company. We have two chief stewards here, and we'll take a look at the Metal Trades Conference, which is going on right now. Delaine Adams is joining me here for our pre-show. We're getting our streams going. And Facebook and Twitter and YouTube are notifying all of our viewers. So I'll let you say hello while I pull up our streams.
All right. Hello, viewers. How are you? We have some news to share. And definitely for everyone who's affected by Hurricane Michael out there, we'll have some information as well.
Oh, Pablo Espinosa, Tony Wirth have joined us already. We have six viewers already. That's great. And it's only 2:59 Eastern. So we have 1 minute before the official show starts. Kylie Hernandez, how you doing? Kylie's joined us. All right, I'm all set up there. I think this is great.
Yes.
So we have Jim Price down at Metal Trades. He's going to give us hopefully a live look. You know how the internet goes, so hopefully he'll be able to give us an update of what's going on at the AFL-CIO's Metal Trades Conference.
Yes. I think I need a pillow under my
I have
chair.
A pillow.
See, I don't.
Yeah, it's okay though. Well, if I slouch, we're the same height.
Well, yeah, maybe I need to, yeah. Get up like this, maybe. I don't know.
And sometimes we start Instagram. That's my phone over there that has our Instagram feed. It's not on yet because people can't hear our remote interviews. But after the remote interview's over, I'll try to remember to go over there and push the live video button on Instagram. So make sure you follow us on all of our social media pages on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram. We even have a Pinterest.
Oh, I promise not to knock the phone over this week.
Yes. Okay, so. Well, it's 3 o'clock.
Yes, let's get started.
Activate Live starts now.
Activate your voice!
Fight for your right.
Speak up.
Speak out.
We're union and we're proud.
Go union.
Welcome to Activate Live, our weekly show about the Machinist Union, organized labor, and working people. I'm Tanya Hutchins, coming to you live from our headquarters in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. Here's Delaine Adams with the latest IAM news. Delaine?
Well, today we want to start out with a message. We are keeping everyone in our thoughts and prayers for whoever may be affected by Hurricane Michael. It's taking place currently. And we want to make sure that families are safe, they're taking all the precautions. And remember, if you want to help IAM members affected by this storm, you see it's up there on the screen, please text IAM help to 5500, and that is our IAM disaster relief fund.
55,000, right?
Yes, 55,000. And again, it's a storm that's very dangerous, so we want to make sure that everybody's taking precaution and they're staying safe and finding the right type of cover to
and this is in
protect
Florida.
Themselves. Florida, Georgia, Alabama.
Okay.
So everybody just has to stay safe.
Okay. Thoughts and prayers are with them.
Thoughts and prayers. So District 70. So District 70 and the Guide Dogs of America recently held a golf tournament. So great cause, great pitchers, and this is the 7th annual Robert Martinez Jr. Invitational Golf Fundraiser, and it's held in Newton, Kansas. And this year, the event had 75 golfers on 19 teams and raised over $53,000, including on the greens, raffle, and the live auction. They had great pitchers there from Kansas, so District 70 representing well.
Everyone loves raising money for Guide Dogs. Such a great organization.
Great organization, and everybody loves golf, too.
That's true.
Yes,
almost everybody.
Almost everybody.
And, I've tried.
And speaking of fundraisers, there's another one. This Saturday here in the area, Hollywood, Maryland, from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., a Ride for Guides car show will be held to benefit the Guide Dogs of America. Again, our favorite charity. It will take place at the William Wimpensinger Center, Education and Technology Center, and be held in conjunction with Automotive Local 1486 of Washington, D.C.
All right, so that's in Hollywood, Maryland.
Hollywood, Maryland, yeah, doing great. They're doing great work out there. We're bringing a car show and raising funds for Guide Dogs of America.
Well, thank you so much, Delane.
Yes.
If anything happens in the next few minutes, you're welcome to run in and tell us.
Well, one more thing.
Okay.
One more thing. The great news out of Canada, Spectrum Healthcare, where we just organized and 2,400 members, they have ratified their first agreement. And there it is, a great picture there. So congratulations. That's a big deal. And for them to organize 2,400 and then get to that first agreement, congratulations.
That's great news.
Yes.
I think that was taken down at our Wimpasinger Center, so
yes,
we're very happy for them.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Have a great show.
Thanks all a right. lot, Delane. Appreciate it.
I'm going to back up slowly.
Okay. Well, the AFL-CIO's annual Metal Trades Conference is happening right now in Nevada. It's a labor management conference, and the Department of Energy is there. The Machinists Union is one of 17 unions affiliated with the Metal Trades Department, which is now 110 years old. Well, IAM Government Employees Director Jim Price joins us live with an update. Jim, what's going on right now?
If you can hear me, I'm going to walk out. Vice Admiral Tom Moore from the NAVSEA Systems Division of the Naval Center was just in speaking to the delegates. Just a correction, though, Tanya. This conference basically is DOD, DOE, Department of Energy, Department of Defense. It also has a lot to do with all of the shipyards that are basically fall under the auspices of the metal trades. There's probably close to 250 delegates here. This conference is very, very unusual for most because of the fact that the contractors that basically work with our folks in metal trades are here with those folks, and so there's a lot of conversations that are going on. There was a DOE breakout meeting yesterday, or caucus meeting. Of course, the IAM has its normal caucus meeting on Tuesday. And the beautiful thing about this was on Monday we had a beautiful golf tournament. Yeah, Delane's right. Everybody loves golf. For Guide Dogs of America. And last year we made $53,000, which would have paid for a dog. We're hoping we make a little bit more this year for that. Other than that, we'll be meeting for the next 2 days and trying to make some connections with some of the contractors and basically renew some old friendships with some brothers and sisters from some of the unions across the country.
Well, thank you, Jim. We appreciate it so much that you took the time out to let us know what was going on at the Metal Trades Conference.
Not a problem.
All right. For more information, you can visit metaltrades.org. That's metaltrades.org. This is the website right here. And as you can see in the lower right-hand corner, the Metal Trades Department even has an app. So you can download that app. And it also says that you can text MTD to 24587. Text MTD to 24587 to receive news. So that's very cool. Everyone is getting an app these days. Well, the grievance procedure is a powerful tool that union members use to address concerns and disputes in the workplace. Procedures can vary from company to company. So we want to break down the basics and give you some examples. Adrian Krause is a chief steward with IAM Local 4 in Southern Maryland, and he joins us now. Thank you so much for being here, Adrian.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you're with DynCorp.
Yes.
That's the collective bargaining agreement that you're working under, and you are, you know, a lot of the grievance procedures that you're dealing with. Tell us first, who are our members at DynCorp? What do they do?
So DynCorp, we've got about 800 members down at Naval Air Station Patuxent River. We represent five different Navy squadrons, Naval Test Pilot School, VX-20, HX-21, V-22, and VX-23. We maintain about 15 different airframes, everything from engines, structure, flight controls, egress, parachutes, logs and records, supply, everything that a regular Navy squadron does, we do as civilian contractors.
That is excellent. Now, occasionally, there may be a concern that comes up,
mm-hmm.
and someone comes to you, one of the workers. What is a grievance procedure for any of the non-union members that may be working watching?
A grievance is any kind of a violation of, could be a work policy, a contract policy, OSHA law, federal law, labor laws, anything that's a violation of whatever. It could be anything from not getting your time and a half, working more than 40 hours, to working in a hangar that has pigeons making messes all over the place and the company wanting you to work in the area. So that's OSHA violations, because we all know that pigeons have a are cancerous with their droppings. So things like that. So you can have all sorts of different issues come up.
So when a worker approaches you, what are the steps that you have to go through?
So we have a four-step grievance procedure. The step one being at the lowest level with the direct shop supervisor. We sit down and we discuss what's going on, why there's a violation, if there is. The first thing we as a steward have to learn is it a grievance or is it a gripe? If it's a gripe, somebody just kind of complaining a little bit, then we try to iron it out to make everyone happy. If it is actually a grievance, though, we have to work and figure out what has been violated, state law, contract, whatever type of violation, and then proceed through there. Step one would be with the direct shop supervisor. Step two would be with the hangar supervisor. Step three would be with the deputy program manager, the big boss on base who oversees the whole contract. And if we still can't get to the resolution that we want, which is always to make the membership whole, then it goes to arbitration.
Now, you have how many members there?
A little over 800.
So that's a large group for you compared to like 12 or something
right.
like that.
It can get stressful at times.
That's what I was going to ask. What are the challenges with dealing with 800 people?
The big thing right now, people complaining going from one of the squadrons departing out of Norfolk. If the ship doesn't leave, then these guys just drove from Pax River to Norfolk, and now they got to sit on the side of the pier and wait for the boat to go. So you have minor things like that, which are gripes. There's nothing to grieve on it because the boat's not going.
So you were there, though, before there was a union contract.
Yes.
So how was that compared to how it is now and the protections that you have now?
It's a lot better. Before, if members got in trouble or if something came up, there was no one there to protect them. For example, I had one of my coworkers, a tool was supposedly found with his name on it, and with aviation, everything's etched with tool control. You know who every tool goes to. And this member was not allowed to actually look at the tool to verify if it was his. And they fired the guy for misplacing a tool, and he had zero representation. It wasn't even his tool.
Wow.
So the lack of representation, no one being there to fight for you, stand up for you, show where things are wrong, just the relationship with the company and the workforce before we organized was pretty ugly and hostile. And over the last couple of years, it's actually gotten really good. I'm actually happy to say that we've only written one grievance this year.
That's great.
I've got a really good relationship going with the company right now. We're able to discuss things without having to go sit down and do the paperwork. So we're able to get our things taken care of on a much easier basis.
I was about to ask you, what is your best case scenario in the workplace? And I think you just said it about never really having to use the grievance procedure.
The company knows it's there. When we put that grievance, they were actually very upset because they were kind of proud of the fact that they were working with us. DynCorp down in Fort Worth was really happy that we're actually working and discussing and doing things together. So when I put a grievance on their table, it broke that record. So they take it very serious. They know that when I show up with a grievance, that it's something serious and it needs to be addressed properly.
See, you can work together.
Yes, absolutely we can. Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to mention?
No.
Great. Thank you so much for taking the time to stop by. And I apologize. I think I said DynCorp in the beginning instead of DynCorp. So.
Yeah, DynCorp. There you go.
I'm going to get it right. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Adrian. Well, you two can join the conversation. What do you think about grievance procedures? So please let us know. You can comment right now to activate your voice on whichever social media platform you're using right now. Give us some feedback on the importance of having a grievance procedure in place. Well, if you're just joining us, we are talking about grievance procedures. And look, we have Matt Griggs there, says, there is the man at the table. See? We have shop stewards here who are doing such a great job, chief stewards, that they have fans. They really do, because they're doing great. And we have another one here, Chris Valorio says, congrats to Spectrum members on their first agreement, job well done. Chris was talking about our Spectrum Health members who just got their first agreement. So thank you, Chris. We appreciate it. We are passing on those congratulations. Well, we are talking about grievance procedures today, what they are, how they work, and joining us now is Patrick Curran, also a chief steward. And Patrick, tell us a little bit about which collective bargaining agreement that you work with.
I work with the Fleet Readiness Center down at Patuxent River Naval Air Station for a small business company called Tionic Worldwide Services.
And what do the work our members at Tionic do?
We're actually what they call a back shop situation. We don't actually work directly on aircraft. We work on all the systems to go with the aircraft. Everything from the engines to parachute packing to batteries, all the support equipment that's needed on the ground to help service these aircraft and get them up and flying.
You don't think about all of those different elements that have to service the aircraft.
There are a ton of people behind the scene, absolutely.
Now, we talked to Adrian earlier. Tell us a little bit about the size of your group, because it is different.
Dramatically so. In the beginning, we were part of the same group as Adrian, of the 800-plus members, but we have since been separated with the way the government wants to redo business and go with these smaller companies. And now I represent a group of a whopping 67 people.
But they're getting that one-on-one attention from you. So
oh, absolutely, absolutely.
So how does your grievance procedure differ from what Adrian was mentioning at DynCorp?
Our grievance procedures are actually written the exact same. We adapted that and brought that over with us when we separated and initiated our own collateral bargaining agreement with Tionic. So the basics of it are the same. I have a very good working relationship with our group supervisor. He is actually the gentleman who hired me nearly 21 years ago. So he and I have both risen through the ranks over the years.
Now, you said 21 years ago you didn't have a collective bargaining agreement.
Oh, no.
And what was like when it came to problems arising in the workplace?
You had no recourse. When you were given information that you knew was incorrect, there wasn't much you were going to be able to do about it. When things got really tough, you would get a hold of your congressman, because you had no direct individual that you could speak to. There was that much of a disconnect.
That is something else. If you have to call your congressman to get something done.
Absolutely.
In your shop.
Yeah.
Okay. So right now, how does it work? When someone comes to you, what do you do?
As Adrian said before, number one, they come to us and we try to meet with their immediate supervisor. And that generally for me, and with our situation, is we'll end up meeting with the group supervisor as well. That'll put the four of us in a room to try to discuss what has occurred and who feels, whose definition of what starts matching up. And then I'll start my investigation as to exactly what has happened.
And can you explain to us a little bit, knowing that we do have some non-union members that are watching, a little bit of what the investigation involves?
Oh, certainly. We'll take statements from everybody that was there and try to, from there we have to figure out, okay, as Adrian said earlier, is it actually a grievance? Did something actually occur that was either illegal or against our contract? Because our CBA is a legal binding contract, and therefore this can lead, to our final step, the arbitration.
What can help you as a chief steward when someone does come to you and they say they want to file a grievance? Is there anything that they can do to prepare that will help you in your investigation?
One thing I tell people is please, please, please take notes. As soon as you have a conversation with your supervisor, and at that moment, most people are very upset, but try to have that frame of mind to jot down some notes, some highlights of what just occurred and what was said. Very important things to have. You'll need that later in the game.
Any advice for the non-union members out there that don't have this procedure on just the importance of it?
I have family that works without this, and I've seen just basically personality conflicts end up with somebody's employment being terminated, and just for some of the most petty things over the years.
Now, how did you learn to become a chief steward and to do this?
Well, that took a few years of my involvement. I originally started off, my involvement was just as getting on the team for the negotiating committee and becoming part of that. And as I learned more, I wanted to know more, and then I started to do more, and then later became steward and eventually chief steward.
Now, what made you want to get involved? Did someone ask you to get involved, or did you just have an interest that was sparked?
The interest was sparked more so than that, probably anything else. The curiosity of exactly how it goes, what goes on behind the scenes. And the nice thing is being able to take control of part of your situation when so much of the time so many people have no control over what's going on around them, but to have a voice, to stand there with the company on equal ground.
That can mean so much. And people end up staying in jobs that they enjoy, and there aren't a lot of problems. So this, you know, affects people's futures.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. We've had the turnover where we are is so slight. We'll lose people. We've lost more people to retirement recently than even relocation. They're secure, they're happy, the wages that we've negotiated are good, the pension contributions that we've negotiated are very good. And again, people have been here in their jobs for, most of them probably more than a decade. And everybody, they know what they're doing, they know how to do it, and we just keep moving forward. We'll be negotiating it next year, and I look forward to see what they want to do then.
Okay, if there's any young person out there or a new member who is seeing what you do and they're interested in being a steward one day, what advice do you have for them?
Start asking questions. Start attending your monthly meetings. Become part of, originally I was on a scholarship committee. I mean, just take that first initial step. Get your foot in the door and observe and learn. There's a lot of very good people out there that are perfectly willing to teach you and help you along the way, and they encourage the involvement.
You know, a lot of people say that they just had somebody ask them to go to a union meeting, and nobody had asked, and they went and they started getting involved. And yeah, sometimes it just takes asking somebody, like you said, to get involved.
Oh, sure, just that one thing. Absolutely.
All right. Anything else you'd like to mention about grievance procedures?
Yeah, don't hesitate. You know, our CBA has a timeline. So if you think you've been slighted, if you think something's wrong, go ahead and get with your steward. Get your representative involved. Because if you've missed your timeline, then you've missed your window of opportunity.
That's right. A lot of different agreements. Some may say that you have to file within 30 days, or you just have to check your agreement to see. But
yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah.
No, a lot of people may be mulling it over about whether they should do it or not.
Yeah. Don't hesitate. If you think there's a question involved, ask the question.
Okay. Thank you so much for taking the time to come up here to headquarters. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was Patrick Curran, Chief Steward with IAM Local 4 right here in Maryland, so not far at all. We have Mark Duvall saying, great job, Local Lodge 4. So you're getting a shout out there from Mark Duvall. Also says, union and company working together to resolve issues. That's the way it's supposed to be, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Yes, Mark's been a wonderful tutor.
That's a great scenario to have. You know, I mean, I know people joke sometimes saying, you know, we're looking for the time where, one, we don't have grievance procedures, but also, two, where we wouldn't need unions because people would be respecting each other and having dignity on the job. But until then, we're going to keep fighting for it.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, we want to live in a world where you can trust everybody, but with your employment and your future, your retirement, who can you trust? Well, you better find someone you can trust. And whether it be for me, I've got the responsibility of 67 people who trust that I can keep them in my forethoughts.
Well, we thank you for your service and your hard work.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Well, let us know what you think. Comment on this video and share your thoughts about the grievance process and any advice for people who don't have access to one. Let them know what it's like. And hopefully, that gave you some information. You can comment on Facebook, Twitter. We have the live chat feature on YouTube as well. And you can also watch this anytime. So if you're watching the replay, you can still share your comments and your thoughts. Especially if you're a new union member, you can learn the differences between being union and non-union. So no matter what your job, you should always have a way to address concerns in a fair, professional manner. Well, we're going to switch gears now. This week in history, we're going to go way back to October 10th, 1933. That was a long day, a long time ago, but it was 6 days into a cotton field strike by 18,000 Mexican and Mexican-American workers in Pixley, California, when four strikers were killed and six wounded. Eight growers were indicted and charged with murder. And on October 12th, 1898, it was Chicago Verde Coal Company guards killed at least eight miners who were attempting to stop scabs in Vernon, Illinois. Six guards were also killed and 30 people were wounded in what became known as the Battle of Verdun. You can see right there the pictures of the town and one of the people on the picket line. And there you see Mother Jones, Mary Mother Jones, who always spoke out for people to do the right thing on the job. She's in the lower right-hand corner there. So This Week in Labor History is provided by Union Communication Services from the Worker Institute at Cornell University School of Industrial and Labor Relations. And you can search that, look up their website. It's a great website. And every week, This Week in Labor History comes out on Monday. So you have another one next Monday. We'll try to share with you as much as we can. Well, here's what's coming up on our calendar of events and our meetings. The Arizona State Council meets October 13th in Tucson. The Georgia State Council meets October 15th to the 16th in Augusta. The Michigan State Council meets October 19th and 20th in Jackson. And the Tennessee State Council meets October 19th to the 21st in Nashville. Now listen to this. The Indiana State Council meets October 26th, 28th in Nashville, Indiana. So I just learned last week that there was a Nashville, Indiana as well. As far as our special events go, we have a few. Just a reminder, as Delaine said earlier, also we have registrations that are due for our classes. So next year's schedule is coming out soon. I'm going to ask my boss, the Director of Communication, Bob Wood, can we still get some applications in for advanced communicators? Because I know technically the deadline was Friday, October 5th, but he's giving me the thumbs up. So you still have time to get in those applications for advanced communicators class. And more information is on our website, wimpasinger.iamaw.org, and you can look up all of the classes. And live next Wednesday, October 17th, we have the Wimpy Awards coming up at 7 p.m., so don't forget that as well. And as Delaine mentioned earlier, we have our Rides for Guides car show is October 13th. That's from 8 to 2 at the Wimpasinger Center in Southern Maryland, and the rain date is October 27th. The show benefits our favorite charity, Guide Dogs of America, and is held in conjunction with the Automotive Local 1486 in Washington, D.C. It's $20 to enter. So that's it for that. We hope that we see you there as well. Guide Dogs of America's biggest fundraiser is also coming up in November. They have three events coming up in November. It's the Clay Sporting Event, Hogs for Dogs Motorcycle Ride, and also the Charity Banquet that happens that Saturday night. So that is going to be taking place from November 15th through the 17th. It's usually Wednesday through Saturday, and we'll have information about that as well. So just search Guide Dogs of America, and people come from all over the country for that huge fundraiser. So join us next week at 3 p.m. for our regular show, but don't forget that special edition of Activate Live for the Wimpy Awards, and this will be the second award show, starts at 7 p.m. on October 17th. So see you next Wednesday. Thanks for joining us.